Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another live edition here of the Football Guys Daily Fantasy Hour, all presented to you by RotoGrinders.com. I am Dan Bach, and happy to have Mr. John Lee, Austin Lee, and for the next hour, we will be chatting about daily fantasy football, and we're glad to be doing it here on Grinders Live. Remember, you can find this show every Wednesday night, 9:30 here on Grinders Live, also on the podcast stream as well over there at rotogrinders.com. Of course, Football Guys, preeminent site when it comes to your season-long leagues and also doing some amazing daily content, have apps, have books. We'll touch on that stuff a little bit later in the show. Austin, John, welcome to week three. Was week two as much of a bloodbath for you as it seemed to be for a lot of the industry last week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was I predicted everything exactly the way it was going to happen. And just because Vegas got half the things wrong, those were exactly the things I knew they were going to get wrong. So everything was fine. It was just fine here, Dan. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah. It's, you know, Sam Bradford. Boy, I have to say last week was such a mess. I mean, that Cowboys-Dallas game, you know, Jordan Matthews was about one drive away from just driving the entire daily fantasy community nuts last week. Luckily, he still finished with a tolerable score, got that touchdown. But, man, it was that close to being a disaster last week, tip and pick. And your Cowboys, major injuries out there with Romo. And injuries are going to be a huge talking point for us here today because it's probably been the wackiest week I can remember, John, with sudden injuries, guys who we thought were going to be out who are not out. It's been crazy.
Yeah, it was a crazy week. It's been a crazy couple weeks, actually, let's not even talk about last week. It was a rough week for me as well. Let's talk about week three and what we can do to change things around and make it a more profitable week, because week two was terrible. I look back and I read the things that I wrote and I listened to the things I said. And frankly, I don't think that we were that far off. I really believe that there was just variance. It wasn't on our side last week. I think that this week is a new week. We do the right things and we'll be profitable like week one again.
Well, we've got to learn from our mistakes, if we even want to call them mistakes. And I think that, you know, the one thing, Austin, I want to get curious on your thoughts on this, because as we move closer or move further along in the season, the one thing that I think we obviously start taking note of are a lot of the defense versus position numbers. How many games is enough data in your eyes before we can start using that as, you know, a basis for a lot of our analysis? Because I think obviously when we get to week 10, week 12, you know, we've got a huge sample size to look at, and we kind of have a pretty good indicator of which teams suck versus the run, which teams, you know, have a lousy defender on the number two wide receiver. I mean, all those kind of statistics start to bear out. Can we do it in 2 weeks, or is it too soon?
I mean, of course, I'm going to include a percentage of that towards how I bias my projections. But I think after 3 weeks is where I start to feel more confident. I want to see either two good games and one bad game, or two bad games and one good game. You know, it's like the third game provides a little bit of a tiebreaker if a team seemed like a Jekyll and Hyde in those first 2 weeks. So I love getting the week three numbers. We're very close to something that I feel is a little bit more tangible.
Absolutely. And I think the other problem we're going to run into, John, is all these injuries that we have to deal with are going to skew some of those numbers here too, because we're talking about major guys being hurt. So we're going to jump into that here in just a minute. Now, you know, Austin, you issued some sort of challenge here on the old Twitter machine. And I don't know if you guys listen to my podcast. They do a daily podcast over at Roto Grinders. And there's this new thing called eSports that is suddenly, you know, jumped out on DraftKings. Now, I want to first ask, because Austin, you've got a whole bunch of like action figures behind you. You nerd yourself out with Star Wars. We know that. What, I have a hunch that you know esports, or that you're a participant or a follower of such activities. Am I accurate in this assessment?
All I've got to say is that you're definitely going to want to fade prey of the Koo Tigers on October 1st. His price at 8,800 on DraftKings is just way too high for me.
Listen, we've got, there we go. We've got our esports tout here in Austin Lee. But it, you know, I was talking about that because I know nothing of the sort. I feel like I'm just so old. And then you're like, I'm going to challenge you to a dub smash on the show today. And I'm thinking to myself, it's bad enough. I don't know about a new daily fantasy sport coming out. And now Austin's challenging me to something called dub smash. Explain what this is and what the wager is going to be here.
Story. Yeah, I thought about posting it on your MySpace page so that it would be a little bit easier to understand. But I'll explain it to you here. So basically, Dub Smash is this app where you've got a library of like 10-second audio clips. You can upload your own or find some that other people have uploaded. And then you lip sync to it and you post your video. So it can be songs or weird quotes from movies or whatever you want it to be. And so the challenge is, if we disagree on a player, I say, you know, we bet how that player is going to do or pit a player against another player. And then the loser has to do a lip sync of the winners. The winner chooses the audio for the loser to lip sync to. How about that?
You know what? I'm into that. Tip and pick. I don't know about you. You're Mr. Conservative guy over here. I don't know. You know, like me, I'll go and do it. Are you in on this?
Yeah, I'm in. Because I won't lose, but yes, I'm in.
I love it. Love the confidence there. All right. So the old dub smash bet, we'll see if we can't find something. At the very least, we'll do it with a bold prediction at the end of the show. But let's get into this upcoming week, and we always start with the injuries here. And the injury update, even some of our graphics are going to be a little out of date because things are changing fast and furious here on the fly. So let's start with the guys who were out or who we thought were going to be out, and some of this has certainly changed. And first news of the week, Drew Brees certainly looked like he was going to be gone this week. People were saying he was going to miss 8 to 10 weeks or something right after that last game. Lo and behold, now he participated in practice here on Wednesday, and he might play. So we'll talk about him. We got Jay Cutler. He is definitely out this week. Tony Romo out 8 to 10 weeks. For the Cowboys. Tevin Coleman, boy, that was a nasty situation there for my fantasy teams. Had a decent first half going, got hurt, his ribs out to 2-3 weeks. And Austin Seferian Jenkins out 4 to 6 weeks. So that's where we got in terms of the official guys apparently being out. But I want to start with Brees here, John. And again, we thought he was going to be out. Now it's kind of iffy. He obviously burned a lot of people last week in this prime matchup against Tampa Bay. Is this a situation that we just want to avoid regardless whether this guy plays or not after what we saw last week?
Absolutely. Stay away from this game entirely. There's not a whole lot of fantasy goodness to be had here. The Saints, their offense has been struggling to begin with. You add in this this particular problem with whatever his shoulder or his clavicle or his whatever is wrong with him. Bruised rotator cuff. It's changed a number of times, but whatever's wrong with him, the team total for this team is 20.5 for the weekend. The last time the Saints have had a total that low has been a while. Luke McCown is doing commercials as the backup. This whole situation screams stay away. They're playing in Carolina. Carolina's MO is to keep the game at a low-scoring game so that their very bad offense can try to stay in it. I don't think I'll have much exposure at all to this game. Maybe a little bit of Carolina for maybe some Cam Newton and Greg Olsen, but really not a whole lot of exposure to this game and certainly not much at all from the New Orleans side.
Yeah, I think you're right on that front. I mean, Brees, even when he, you know, finished out that game, he was throwing ducks out there. I mean, it did not look good. And I think they're going to rebound at some point in time, but a road game at Carolina doesn't seem like the good spot there. Next up, we got Cutler again out. Jimmy Clausen going to draw the start here. Chicago, you know, they get a date here with a Seattle team that's, you know, Seattle, this is a bad spot. I mean, let's face it. You've got Seattle, 0-2 this season at home against Chicago. Like, I mean, let's be serious here, folks. Jimmy Clausen is going to get murdered here in this situation. I can't fathom, no matter how cheap or how tight a cap would to be playing Jimmy Clausen this week. Austin, please tell me you agree with that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no way I'm going Clausen here. This is going to be a bloodbath. Chicago's by far the lowest scoring team, according to Vegas. I don't think they even hit 15 points. It's kind of ugly. But hey, I mean, Seattle at home, I'm not surprised that they're the lowest. This is, yeah, stay away from this.
And then you've got Romo. And, of course, he is out. And they, of course, are playing this week. And you've got Brandon Whedon, who is going to be under center for the Cowboys. And, you know, he's a guy who, you know, terrible first round draft pick. I mean, I don't know why you ever take a guy who's 30 years old in the first round, but that's the Cleveland Browns for you. But this guy, you know, this Cowboys team, and there's a good chance Jason Witten's going to be out. We'll talk about him in a moment, John. I mean, you're a Cowboys fan, and, you know, Whedon here, you know, this is a situation versus Atlanta, a defense which can be thrown on. We saw last week Beckham have a really big game against them. Bradford threw for a ton of yards. I thought I saw somebody tweeted out a preliminary prop of like 250 for Whedon, which I thought was strange because they usually don't drop those, you know, on a Wednesday. So I don't know how much I really believe that, but do you have any interest in Whedon this week as a maybe multi-quarterback site or as a punt play to surprise people? I mean, he looked decent when he stepped in for Romo last game, but again, he's got a long track record. But the opponent against Atlanta could do a lot worse in terms of having to have teams to face. Your thoughts on Whedon and the Cowboys?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm actually very proud of my Cowboys, despite everything that's happened, that they're 2-0 in the division, no less. That said, I think there are better places to go this week. There's actually quite a bit of value at a number of places this week because of all the injuries that we're going through right now, that I don't feel compelled to take Brandon Whedon. We have to remember that even if you really like Brandon Whedon, there's not a whole lot to go with respect to his receivers. We're looking at Terrence Williams, who got a late touchdown last week to save value. Cole Beasley, who I was a little bit on last week as a possession receiver. I think the Cowboys will do this week what they've been doing. They'll control the time of possession. Right now, I think they're averaging 38 minutes and 50 seconds per game of offense. And so what they're going to do is run a lot, throw some short passes. That 250-yard total prop that you mentioned, if I had to go one way or the other on that, I think I would go under this week. I think this team is going to run the ball quite a bit and try to get by and get out of Dallas with a short win, whether it's a 17-14 type game, something like that.
Yeah, I don't like Dallas at all this week. I mean, I'm even using kind of Atlanta as maybe a sneaky cheap defense this week. I mean, think about it real quick. This Cowboys defense, if I told you, you know, kind of at the end of last season, they're going to be without Romo. They're going to be without Dez. They're going to be without DeMarco Murray, and also could be potentially without Jason Witten this week. You'd laugh at me and think like that's a, you know, bottom 3-4 team in the league, especially if I mentioned, oh yeah, Darren McFadden is one of their lead running backs. You'd laugh at me. And that's where they're at right now. So I think Atlanta's kind of caught Dallas at the right time here. And with them getting off to a quick start themselves, they're probably going to walk into that game with a lot of confidence. So I don't feel really good about him at all. And in this week too, this is week three, but in this week also, the salaries look pretty soft out there, especially on DraftKings. FanDuel, not terrible, but like you mentioned as well, John, there's better value options out there. Heck, you could go to Tyrod Taylor, who has really been a revelation this year, for just a little bit more. So I think we're reaching if we want to consider those guys. Next up, Tevin Coleman. I think this is one for us to pay attention to. He is out. Devontae Freeman takes his spot, Austin. And I'm kind of interested in Freeman this week. Should I be?
Yeah, I think that he's an interesting name to keep in mind here. I think it depends on the price and sort of the value you're getting at other positions and whether you need a little value at that spot. You know, I got burned by some running backs that I thought were good values last week. So I'm a little bit gun shy with a guy like this where I don't feel confident in that offensive line. But I feel like with Atlanta being favored in this game and Dallas kind of a mess, this could be a good GPP play to take a chance on a guy like this at a lower price. He could have a big game.
Tip and pick, if you had to take a running back in this game, Randall or Freeman, they're both 6'5 on FanDuel. Who would you roll with?
Oh, definitely Freeman, because Freeman's going to see all the carries. The problem with Randall is he'll split with Dunbar as well as McFadden, and despite the talent level, and we can argue about that a little bit, but Freeman's going to see all the carries here. So there's no question that's who I would go with.
Yeah, I really like that $4,600 salary for him on DraftKings this week. And you hit it on the head. It's all about opportunity. Where else are they going to go out there in Atlanta? I think it's his show. I don't think he's a great running back. But again, if they get any sort of lead in this game, there's a good chance that they might grind some clock, and he's going to be the guy who gets that opportunity. And then lastly, Austin Seferian-Jenkins out 4 to 6 weeks. Let's kind of like roll this into the conversation about Mike Evans, who apparently this week, you know, obviously did squadoosh last week in his limited action, but says this week, you know, they're basically letting him go, going to play a full amount of snaps, and he's really underpriced over there on DraftKings, I think at 6K tip and pick. Could this be the breakout week for him? Because he's, you know, was a, you know, borderline star last year for Tampa Bay, and we haven't seen anything from him this year.
Yeah, I think he's just been hobbled by this this hamstring injury that he's been messing around with. This could be a breakout week for him. I am a little apprehensive about throwing him into my roster just yet, simply because the Vegas total on this team is only 17 points.
Yep.
And I'd like to see him be able to put some numbers on the board before I go all in on him. Certainly he makes a nice GPP play because, as you point out, at his current salary, I don't think you'll see him that cheap again this year. Just yet, I think that I will be a little apprehensive about throwing him into too many lineups because the team total was only 17. He's no longer on a snap count. Apparently he was on a snap count last week, even though we weren't apprised of that beforehand. And so there's just too many unknowns leading into week three that I want to avoid. I think I want to look for some more short things.
Yeah, I think that this is going to be a rough game for Jameis Winston. I mean, he's going against a defense that can put pressure on the quarterback, and he's got, you know, some of the most pressure out of any quarterback this season, and he's gone against two defenses this year who weren't really known for even doing that a year ago. Now he gets J.J. Watt. That line opened at 4. Now it's to 6.5. I think if it gets to 7 or 7.5, watch out. This is a Houston play altogether, and I think I'm in agreement with you. I think there's going to be days to roster Mike Evans. I just don't think this is it. Okay, let's move on to some questionables, and we've got a heap of them here and a bunch of these kind of jumping out here as well. We'll start. Let's see. We've got DeAndre Hopkins just announced had a concussion and is in concussion protocol. I don't really know what that means because I'm not a doctor, but I know he's got to pass a good number of tests. But this was sudden, kind of came out of nowhere here for the Texans this week. Eric Decker, another guy we thought might be out, but only a knee sprain. He is very questionable, though, to play this week. Eddie Lacy with an ankle injury left last week's game early. And he, of course, said that it wasn't that bad. We'll see whether or not he plays this week. Matt Stafford, ribs, did practice today, said everything's starting to feel better. I think he's safe to go. Evans, we just talked about. Alshon Jeffrey, again, believe missed practice here on this Wednesday. I think he's very questionable again as we move into this next week against Seattle with Jimmy Clausen as quarterback. Don't even worry about it. Jason Witten, ankle and knee injury here, very questionable for this week. DeMarco Murray just had an MRI on his knee after practice. Initial reaction was not that bad, but he's been that bad. So we've got to talk about that situation here in a little bit. Delanie Walker with a wrist questionable, and Dwayne Allen as well left last game early and certainly could open up some opportunities for maybe Colby Fleener if he would be out. And something that just hit, Ladarius Green has had another concussion. I believe this is the second one so far this season for him, so would be very surprised if he plays. All right, guys. I don't know where to start with all this stuff. All those names that I mentioned, which are the ones, Austin, that you're paying most attention to? Which is the situation that you've got your eye on where you think there's either opportunity for the guy who's hurt or for somebody behind them if they decide not to play?
I think Eddie Lacy is the one to really keep an eye on here because James Starks becomes a great play if Lacy doesn't play. I mean, Green Bay is favored by about a touchdown in this game, and they're one of the top three scorers of the week. So I think keeping an eye on that is key. Starks could be a really clear play this week.
The problem with that, it's Monday night, especially on FanDuel.
Right.
DraftKings, here's the issue you have. Even if you put, you know, Lacy in there, you're going to leave so much salary off the board because Starks is only 3K. I mean, he is a true min salary punt. And let's say you use Starks, John, and then Lacy does end up saying, hey, I'm going to go, I'm going to start. Then you've got to fill in a 3K guy on a Monday night football game, which you're probably not going to have much luck finding anybody better than a backup running back there for the Packers. So I think it's a real risk-reward situation, which I don't know if we're going to have clarity on by 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Yeah, I was looking at this a little bit earlier today. Luckily, we still have a few days to figure this out. But as I was looking at it, my strategy will be to put – at least $7,300 in the flex spot for that night. And that way I will have either Lacy at 7,200. And if he's not playing, I can pivot off of him and go to Randall Cobb at 7,300. If we're going at the 3,000 level, the for Starks, and I think this situation, remember, we record this on Wednesday night. So by Friday, we should have a better idea of what's going to happen. It is unfortunate it's a Monday night game rather than a Sunday game because it does take away a little bit of clarity there. But the only reasonable substitute I saw, and this would only be a GPP pick, would be Albert Wilson, who is the backup wide receiver for Kansas City there. He's the only guy that would be 3,000 that if James Starks was announced as inactive, you could pivot to and be okay on DraftKings. And, of course, if we were on FanDuel, that's just not going to happen.
What do you think of DeMarco Murray? I mean, this guy was a stellar running back last year, tip and pick, and he has been awful is not even a good enough description for it. Just horrendous. I mean, he's just been a bad, bad running back. It seems like a bad fit at this point in time. Let's talk about the Eagles here in general and Murray. Now, this injury could change things. I mean, I think if he's out, we clearly want to bump up Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles a good bit in our projections this week. But again, it's still early here on Wednesday to know exactly what's going to happen. But how are you looking at this Eagles team? We'll obviously get the recency bias here in a little bit, but just want to get your read, obviously, with them being a hometown team and what your thoughts are, because last week is as ugly as a performance as I've ever seen a Chip Kelly team have.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk in this town right now about what's going to happen if they continue on this losing streak. I mean, Chip Kelly did a lot of things in the offseason that had a lot of people scratching their heads, and now he's 0-2. And if you know anything about Philadelphia sports fans, they don't have a whole lot of patience. And so, yeah, we've been reading a whole lot. Today I was doing a little bit of digging and looking at this Philadelphia offensive line, because you know, we were watching this game on Sunday, and what I noticed is the Cowboys were, I mean, they were just getting amazing penetration. DeMarco Murray was getting the ball, and before you knew it, he was already wrapped up by somebody on the defense. And as much as I would like to pretend that the Cowboys have a great defensive front seven, they truly don't, outside of Sean Lee at the linebacker position. Excuse me. Their offensive line is largely the same outside of Evan Mathis, who went to Denver this year. So really, they haven't lost a whole lot. And so this goes back to the question that you asked Austin earlier about how much faith we can put into a two-game sample size. I think this team turns it around a little bit. I just can't see them being this bad for the entire season. That said, I'm completely avoiding the Philadelphia Eagles running game until they can show me that they can get it together.
Sounds like, and we'll get to him in a minute, doesn't it? Sounds like you are not bailing on Bradford this week, which is interesting. They take on the Jets. And let's face it, the Jets on Monday night looked pretty darn good. That offense moved the ball very well against, you know, not a great Indianapolis defense, but Vontae Davis, when he was in there, obviously one of the top corners. And Eric Decker had a monster of a half going before he left with injury. If he is out, you're looking at maybe Devin Smith taking his spot, the rookie, because you had Owusu, I think, also get hurt last week. They've got Quincy Enunma are pretty close in terms of the pronunciation there. What's your thoughts here? You know, Philadelphia has got, I think Maxwell's his name. He has been like the lowest rated corner so far in the league. Is this a Brandon Marshall game for you, Austin?
Yeah, this is definitely a Brandon Marshall game. I mean, the rest of their receivers really aren't worth looking at here. I think that the Marshall Fitzmagic combination could come up with something nice in this game. Now, they are underdogs to the Jets, but I think that this could be I'm sorry, they are favored against the Eagles here, and so I think that could put them in a good spot to score well with Marshall there.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone against the toughest corners he's going to face all year long and done just fine, John. Question, is it Marshall for 7,400 on FanDuel, or is it Jordan Matthews for 7,100 on FanDuel?
It's definitely not Jordan Matthews after what we saw last week. I think that Marshall's the guy this time. Matthews, if you watch that game, he dropped quite a few passes. The only reason he even came close to reaching value was because of garbage time touchdown. They're playing a team that's, I think, plus five or plus seven in turnover ratio. I think a lot of things are lining up against the Eagles offense this week. So, definitely it's going to be Marshall over Matthews this week.
Yeah, especially if he gets some Revis action on him. That could slow him down a good bit. All right, let's move on to our next topic, and that is our review of week two. And we'll talk about the big performances here first, and a couple of them came from the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't think anybody's surprised to see Antonio Brown have a big game. He was a key to pretty much any tournament team out there. Monster day. But I don't think a lot of us predicted D'Angelo Williams to score three touchdowns. And he's had one heck of a first couple games. And I think the question here, Austin, Le'Veon Bell returns this week. Is there any worry whatsoever that they're going to feel like, we still want to get D'Angelo Williams, I don't know, 10 carries here because he's proven that, you know, he can still run the ball. He's been successful. And this is the first game back for Bell, who, as far as I know, can't practice. He can do all the preseason work, but as soon as the year started, couldn't even practice with the team the first couple weeks. Are you ready to jump on Le'Veon Bell here this week, or are you going to wait? And does D'Angelo's success worry you at all?
Well, I think that you can't anticipate Le'Veon Bell having the workload that he had last season. I mean, part of that was because they had basically no one behind him. Like, everyone behind him was a dumpster fire. So this just gives them sort of like that normal backup guy to give him some breathers. So I think you're going to see D'Angelo Williams get some work here, but I don't think it's going to be a running back by committee. I don't think it's going to really eat into a typical workload. Just don't expect what you saw last year, which was ridiculous for Bell in terms of just basically never coming out of the game. So I like Bell here. You know, I need to look at the pricing a little bit more carefully. He's still 8,800 at FanDuel, so he's all the way at the top of the list. That's not exactly enticing for his first game back, but I think long-term I'll be all over him here.
Yeah, let's rank those top guys here, tip and pick. Peterson, 89, Bell, 88, Charles, 87, and Lynch, 87, going against Chicago. They get Chicago again. Packers get Kansas City on Monday night. Peterson gets San Diego. How do you rank those top four on FanDuel this week?
There are two that are head and shoulders above the others, and that's Marshawn Lynch and Adrian Peterson. Lynch should be in a great spot as a two-touchdown favorite. They'll feed him the ball relentlessly against this Chicago Bears defense. And the other guy, Peterson, he still hasn't scored a touchdown. His price actually dropped on DraftKings this week. I'm not sure about FanDuel. It went down a couple hundred dollars, despite the fact that he's touching the ball nearly 20 times a game over the first two games. And it's only because he hasn't scored a touchdown. But if you're actually watching these games, you'll see that he fumbled twice inside the red zone this past week. And those touchdowns, they're coming, guys. He was slated in terms of projections. Austin's a big season-long guy in terms of projections. I'm guessing Austin probably had him about 13 touchdowns on the season, which works out to just under one per week. So if we're doing the math and talking about regression, he's due for a 2-touchdown week, and I would not be surprised to see him do it this week in his matchup against San Diego.
Yeah, and I'm not hating on Charles against Green Bay. I know that they slowed down Lynch pretty well this past week, really well this past week. But, you know, I think that a guy like Forte is a little bit more similar in terms of the skill set of a guy like Charles in terms of catching the number of passes that he does out of the backfield. I think he obviously has to play a big game for them to have any sort of chance in that one. But I'm kind of off of Bell here a little bit this week for kind of the reasons Austin stated and the fact that I don't see myself really getting two of those high dollar running backs. But I love your point, John, about, you know, kind of we see regression for some players, and then we see other players, you know, kind of start hitting the stats that we expect them to. And paying up for running backs hasn't really paid off too much this year. I guess Forte in week one was okay, but last week, I mean, Peterson had good yardage, but didn't get in the end zone. Obviously, we're a bit burned by Lynch a good bit. Forte did nothing last week. So I think we're going to see some of these high dollar running backs kind of get going here relatively soon. Next up this past weekend, Travis Benjamin, you know, a lot of the winning millionaire maker and Sunday Millions lineups, I think, had this guy in at about 0.5% ownership. And honestly, I think it's safe to say, I think you're crazy if you played him. I mean, the guy ran, I think, 9 routes last week. So it just happened that he hit on special teams and had 2 long bombs. Don't chase. Okay, if you're going to take away one thing from this show this week, don't chase Travis Benjamin, right? Austin, back me up.
Oh, yeah. He's got 6 catches and 4 touchdowns. So and I think he's averaging like 34 yards per catch. This is just insane numbers. This is ridiculous. So, yeah, fun story for the first 2 weeks of the season. This is Cleveland. This is not going to continue. This just move along.
Can we talk about who was covering him? Because that becomes a very important point.
Who was covering him, John? I mean, let's save that because we got our wide receiver cornerback matchups coming up here in a little bit. So we'll get to that one. Last couple names, Brady Edelman. Those guys went off last week. They get they're like double 2 touchdown favorites here against Jacksonville at home. Is this a week they get back to the running game because they have such a lead? I mean, they kind of have been, you know, obviously this past week versus Buffalo were really kind of in a tight game. The week before against the Steelers, that one kind of turned into a bit of a shootout lately. I don't think this one's going to shoot out versus Jacksonville. Is this the game that these two guys kind of simmer down a little bit?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And it is related to my bold prediction, which I will reveal later. But I believe this is a change in game plan for the Patriots. And I'm looking for a very different game script than their first 2 games.
Okay, last guy I want to talk about, Larry Fitzgerald tip and pick. His numbers with Carson Palmer have been documented. They are really, really good versus when he is out. As long as Palmer's healthy, he seems to be like a huge target for him. But he's still getting a little long in the tooth, but certainly looked the part last week. But that was against the horrendous Chicago Bears defense. This week, can we get behind Mr. Fitzgerald here in a matchup versus San Francisco?
Yeah, I think you can get behind him this week. You know, the thing is, you need to remember that Fitzgerald's more of the possession receiver for that team. And as long as you're happy with receptions and 10 yards and 15 yards at a time, he's a great cash game play. Despite what he did last week in terms of touchdowns, I would not advise anybody to go chasing that type of performance again. I would be willing to bet at week 3 that that's his highest output for the season in terms of touchdowns and overall fantasy scoring. This week is actually a very good week. The Niners are giving up an average of 10.2 yards per pass attempt, and which is the worst in the NFL. So I think
let's be fair here. They did go against Antonio Brown last week.
Yeah, of course. Everything goes with sample size in week 3, but I think that trends start to present themselves. I think after week 4 to 5 is when I really start to believe what we're seeing. But I don't think there's any question that this team is right now, I think they're one of the favorites for in the NFC in terms of winning the NFC. Sigmund Bloom, another football guy, well-respected within the community, thinks they're actually the favorite to win the NFC as of now, because Carson Palmer, he completely changes the this team. And, you know, the only thing that scares me a little bit about Fitzgerald is that he will at some point lose some touchdowns to John Brown. He already has been extremely unlucky to this point. If you're out there and you're thinking about playing a GPP, this is a guy that should be squarely on your radar, because he's had 5 holding or pass interference penalties in the first 2 weeks. And most of those probably would have led to touchdowns because of the way he runs. And the defenders were squarely just trying to keep him out of the end zone.
Yeah, and he's been good even with those. I mean, he hasn't been a bad receiver at all. And Michael Floyd doesn't seem to be on Carson Palmer's radar at all, so ignore him. Let's move to the guys who have gotten the slow starts, and I want to lead it off with Andrew Luck, who was awful last week, or on Monday Night Football, probably about as bad of a game as I've seen him play. Then you had his coach kind of call him out, call the whole team out. It was kind of an odd situation. And Andrew Luck is somebody who is a top 5 quarterback in this league. He's a guy who's put up gaudy stats every single year. They've gotten better every single year. And I don't think that there's any chance in my eyes that Andrew Luck doesn't bounce back here. He is my lock, I think, for a quarterback in cash game against the Titans. I wish it was at home, but you know what? The Titans last week, they got thrown all over by Johnny freaking Football. Andrew Luck off a bad game. I know it's a short week. I'm all in on him this week. If he doesn't get me 3 touchdowns passing, I'd be shocked. Austin, I'm all in on Luck to rebound this week.
Yeah, I think this is the game where he bounces back. Tennessee does not have a great defense. This is going to be good. Now, even though he had a bad game, though, he's still the second most expensive quarterback at both FanDuel and DraftKings. So that makes me pause a little bit. But like you said, for cash games, I could see him hitting value here and getting a few touchdowns. So Tom Brady's a little cheaper, though.
Luck over Brady all day long. All day.
Really?
Long. Really? Against Jacksonville? Yes. Yes.
Huh. How strongly do you feel about that?
I feel pretty strongly about that one.
Is this dub smashable?
Is this a dub smashable bet?
I think this is a dub smash bet.
All right. You know why this is such a great dub smash bet? Because not only going to have Andrew Luck in like 90% of my lineups here this week,
yeah,
but I live in Jacksonville. I'm a Jaguars fan. So if I can cheer for them to, you know, hold down Tom Brady, that's not going to happen. Maybe I should cheer for them to get blown out, because that'll work out better. But Luck versus Brady, total fantasy points, FanDuel, dub smash bet. Done.
You got it. Yes. Dub smash challenge.
Dub smash challenge. I like it. Tip and pick. A guy who just came out and said, I'm not happy. And he's only played on their team for 2 games. Jimmy Graham. Now he gets a date with Chicago, who has been one of the worst against wide receivers, one of the best against tight ends in 2 weeks' time. Obviously, Graham, more of a wide receiver, I think, than tight end. Most people would categorize him as that. Is this the week for him to get going with Russell Wilson?
No, this is not the week for him to get going. The truth is, he may not get going all season if the offensive line continues to look the way they've been looking.
It's Chicago.
They may not need him to run pass routes against Chicago. I think that this is a Marshawn Lynch week, if we're being honest. But to the point that you asked the question, this offensive line is one of the worst in the NFL. They're 30th against the run right now and 31st against pass blocking, according to Pro Football Focus. And they need him there to block. Now, we can question why they brought in a prolific receiver with the talents and skill set that Jimmy Graham has to block. But the fact is, that's what he's doing. He's blocking more than he is route running. And, you know, Pete Carroll needs to address this situation and make this guy happy, because at the end of the day, that is their red zone target in the passing game. And so I think that you'll see them try to begin to work him in, but not until some of these offensive line woes go away.
So Kelce, Eifert, Olsen, all ahead of him for you this week? Because they're all in the same, you know, kind of price level on FanDuel. You got 6,400 for Kelsey, Graham 63, Eifert 59, Olsen 59.
I believe so, yeah, because they're being targeted more than he is at this point.
You agree with that, Austin?
I like Kelsey more, but I actually think they get Graham going here a little bit. Definitely not Witten here.
No.
I'd take Graham over Eifert and Olsen as well. I think Graham gets back on track here a bit.
I agree. I think this is a situation where these guys pay attention to what they say in the media. It's been very well documented that he's not happy. Russell Wilson needs to get him involved. And if there's ever a game where you think it can happen, it should be against the Chicago Bears secondary. If he was going against the Patriots, or he was going against the Ravens, yeah, maybe that's not the spot to play him. But Chicago at home off of, you know, 0-2, they could easily have this game be like 35-7 and have him have a big game just because they know they need to feed him the football. So I see the point you're making, John, and I think in general, like if I'm in a season-long league, I don't necessarily buy low on Jimmy Graham, but in a daily league for this particular week and this particular matchup, I think that Russell Wilson tries to get him involved, and I think he by far has the most targets this week for that wide receiver slash tight end core for Seattle. So I'm on Austin's side. I think Graham bounce back week for him. Okay, next up, let's move to some surprises this past week. And David Johnson had a really impressive game, but still was out-touched tremendously there by Chris Johnson. I think we all agree Chris Johnson's not a play. We didn't like him last week. I don't think we're going to like him this week. But is David Johnson, you know, he's only touched the ball a handful of times and he seems to get into the end zone every time, but the volume isn't there, tip and pick. What do you think of David Johnson this week?
I love this guy. I wish Bruce Arians would get him in the ball game more often. That's what it boils down to. Last week, he had 16 snaps out of 59 of the team's total snaps. Doing some quick math in my head, that's 4 out of 15. It's like 28% of the snaps or something like this. And that's not nearly enough to get him into my lineups. He simply can't withstand or sustain the type of effort that he's been putting out, scoring multiple touchdowns last week and a touchdown the week before. I think the guy's very, very talented, but I really won't be looking at him for my season long or even DFS leagues until probably week 8, when I think that he sees prime time on this team.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. A great column that I read here this week that Lord Reeves wrote said Johnson had 3 carries of 13 or more yards. And on his 5 carries, Chris Johnson's longest run was for 8 yards in the 20 attempts that he had. So David Johnson is definitely the better player. And maybe at a point in time, he will be that guy. I just don't think we are there yet. So that's kind of my worry with him. Matt Jones with Washington, he's a Thursday night special. He looks the part out there with the Redskins and is getting more opportunity. Again, it was a dart last week. If you played him and it paid off, is this the end of the Alfred Morris reign over there in Washington, Austin?
No, I don't think this is the end of Alfred Morris in the short term. Maybe in the second half of the season, we'll start to see a little bit of a changing of the guard. But I think this makes it more of a running back by committee than what we first thought it was going to be kind of coming into the season. Because this is a Thursday night special, I'm going to have to fade Matt Jones here because I think he's going to be super high owned in those Thursday slates where people are excited about this performance that they saw and want to have skin in the game on Thursday night. But in general, I really like this guy.
Yeah, I'd definitely be buying in my season long leagues if you're playing those on Matt Jones. Last guy I want to talk about, tip and pick. He had a huge game last week, helped them really upset the Dolphins, and that was Allen Robinson of the Jaguars. You know, this game against New England, they're probably going to be playing from behind. Is this a surprise guy that we can buy into this week? Because he's still relatively cheap. I think about 6,600 or so over on FanDuel this week.
Yeah, I actually wrote this up a little bit earlier in a roundtable on Football Guys. You can look for it later this week, but I can give you the Cliff Notes version now. I actually think Allen Hurns is the guy to look to this week. Allen Robinson, he's certainly the most talented player on that entire team in terms of skill. And we know that Bill Belichick has made a career out of eliminating the most talented player on the opposing team. And so I look for him to put some better cornerback coverage on Allen Robinson to shut him down and force the Jaguars to do something with other players. And if you go and look at the wide receiver cornerback matchups this week, you'll see that Allen Hurns lines up across from Bradley Fletcher, who is a Philadelphia Eagles reject who's absolutely been burned, not just last year for 10 touchdowns, but this year he's already given up one touchdown in two games. I think he's 160 yards, 8 catches on 9 targets in his coverage. And Allen Hurns should be lining up against him. So he's the guy that in that matchup I'll be looking for in my GPPs, because this team should be down early. And I think that Blake Bortles will throw the ball 40 times. So I think if you go with the Blake Bortles to Allen Hurns stack, you could certainly be in the minority, and there's a ton of upside there.
And to support that idea, Rashad Greene is out as well, and he had been soaking up some of those Jacksonville targets. So I think that focuses a little bit more on Hurns as well.
Yeah, I can get behind that. I'm not writing off Robinson just because I agree with you on Belichick totally, but I just don't think they have the personnel in that secondary to do it. I mean, I think this is the worst set of corners he's had in a long time over there. And you're looking at a Buffalo Bills team, guys like, you know, Sammy Watkins, Robert Woods, and Tyrod Taylor putting up big numbers against them. I just think that secondary leaves a lot to be desired. And Robinson was a star over with the Jaguars in the fall camp and the summer camps. He really stood out. And I don't think anybody who read that was really surprised it happened week two. I know a lot of people were on him week one, and he kind of put up some recency bias. Of course, we look at guys who did well, teams that did well, and other guys who didn't, and we kind of judge accordingly. The positive recency bias, I think that for the price point, I don't mind rolling him out there. I don't think it's kind of been jacked up enough to kind of write him off completely. All right, let's move to some recency bias. Of course, we look at guys who did well, teams that did well, and other guys who didn't, and we kind of judge accordingly. The positive recency bias, we're going to see it in the Patriots, the Raiders, and obviously Larry Fitzgerald. Let's start with the Raiders here. This offense, you know, put up some real big numbers last week in a game against Baltimore, which, you know, even though the defense isn't what it used to be, John, they're still decent enough. Are you buying in at all on Amari Cooper or David Carr after their big weeks last week?
Yeah, so no is the answer. I actually think that Amari Cooper is a guy that I'll be looking towards moving forward. This week, actually, Vegas has told me that despite the fact that these guys have started off pretty hot, not to expect a whole lot from them. I think the team total this week on Oakland is less than 20 points coming cross country to Cleveland. You would think that this would be a great matchup for them. And for whatever reason, the odds makers in Las Vegas are telling us to stay away. And when I don't understand the line, more often than not, I stay away simply because I feel like those guys know more than I do.
Yeah. Joe Hayden potentially could be on Amari Cooper as well, who is pretty good corner to say the very least. So, yeah, I think there's some credence there to looking at Oakland. You know, they were really bad on the road that first week in Cincinnati. Now, you know, going back out to Ohio again, I think it's too risky of a situation to invest in. Now, the negative plays here, what about the Colts? You know, again, we talked about Andrew Luck already, but T.Y. Hilton, you know, we kind of both said that we expect Luck to bounce back, Austin, but where do we go with who do we want to pair up with T.Y. Hilton, with Andrew Luck? Is it Hilton? Is it Moncrief? Is it a Colby Fleener? Because all these guys, you know, they haven't – I mean, Moncrief's been good, but, you know, Hilton in particular has been a real disappointment to this point. What do you think? Is this a week he gets going?
Yeah, I don't think you go with Fleener here. I mean, Fleener's going to see a little bit more action if Dwayne Allen's out, but they're pretty different players in terms of how they suit that offense with, you know, Allen being in line and Fleener playing more on the outside. I'd look to Hilton here. I think that a lot of people are going to be, you know, following that stat train that came out of Moncrief this past week and might be a little down on Hilton. So I think that's an opportunity to work him into your lineup.
Jeremy Hill, concerns there, Austin? I mean, this is a guy who had fumbleitis last game, and it was the Gio Bernard show in the second half. I think he had 15 carries in the second half to Hill's 3. Should we be the least bit concerned here with him? I mean, obviously, ownership, I think, will be down here this week after what happened last week. What do you think?
Yeah, I look at this one in a similar way to the Redskins situation. Basically, you know, you've got a couple of guys who are still the lead dog for their teams. Hill is not, you know, suddenly lost his job. But then it just kind of the other guy creeps up on his touches a little bit here. And Gio Bernard's a completely capable running back here. So I think that we're going to see more split time here for a little bit. But Hill ultimately is going to keep this job and still see, you know, the majority of the work here. I just don't know that his price has come down enough yet for me to buy back into him here. He's still 7,600 over at FanDuel, and he's even kind of higher over at DraftKings, it feels like. He's 7,300. So I won't be investing in Hill this week.
Yeah. Where are you looking? If you, you know, John, we've got, let's go look to the like mid sevens here on FanDuel. You've got, you know, Lacy is kind of questionable, so I think it's tough to pull that trigger. You've got Hill, you've got McCoy, you've got C.J. Anderson, you've got Justin Forsett, all guys who leave a lot to be desired. Is that just a situation where I'm either going cheaper or I'm going more expensive?
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I made my preliminary lineup last night, and I spent up on one running back, and I spent down on, I believe it was either James Starks or Devontae Freeman. Both of those guys are at 6,500. I think that they represent decent value this week. And as I said earlier in the show, I really am quite high on Adrian Peterson and Marshawn Lynch this week. And so I'm avoiding these mid-tier guys this week because I just don't know exactly what's going to happen there with respect to running back by committees and injury situations and so forth.
All right, let's go to projected ownership. These are Mr. Tippin Picks numbers. He gives them to us. We pass them along to you. We'll start with the quarterback spot and Andrew Luck, 9,000. These are FanDuel salaries at 14% cash, 18% GPP. Tom Brady, 8,700, 18% cash, 14% GPP. And then Jimmy Clausen at 5% cash and 12% GPP. You know I'm going to take exception with Jimmy Clausen. If he is in 12% of GPPs, then I need to be playing more GPPs because there's 12% of dead money in tournaments. I'm serious. I'm getting Seattle on the road. Zero. It's crazy. Craziness. Luck and Brady, I'm with you. I think those two guys certainly are going to be higher owned guys, but I don't know. 5,300's cheap tip and pick, but I don't know if you need to go that cheap, do you?
A lot of fish in the water these days.
I don't know. I like that.
We'll see. I mean, 5,300, that allows you to fit a guy like, you know, I mean, you could do
– stack your lineup, basically.
You can absolutely have every other position stacked. You can have Gronk. You can have Antonio Brown. You can have one of these big running backs. And I'm sure that somebody's telling themselves, well, Jimmy Clausen, even though he hasn't thrown a pass in 4 years, he can get me 10 points or 15 points. So – I mean, maybe 12% is a little ambitious, but I would not be surprised to see 8 to 10%.
What about playing someone like Josh McCown instead? Like, if you're going to go cheap at quarterback, I mean, McCown's been named the starter in week 3. He's playing against Oakland. I think I'd much rather have McCown than Jimmy Clausen, and he's cheaper.
I think my problem with that is I still think that Manziel played well enough that the moment McCown doesn't look good, I think they'll go back to Manziel. So I think there's that risk. Clausen, the only way he's coming out if he gets hurt because he's their number two guy. That's my worry with McCown. So I don't like either. How about that?
Yeah.
But you make a good point against the Oakland defense. Running backs, let's look at those projected ownerships. James Starks, I think this is under the under the impression that Lacy would be out at 24% cash, 22% GPP. Le'Veon Bell at 8,800, 11% cash. And 15% GPP, and Danny Woodhead at 6,400 at 12% cash and 18% GPP. I'm okay with some of that. I think the Starks numbers, I think that's only going to be definitive if we get a Lacy out. I just think people are going to be way too cautious with that on a Monday night. Bell is really intriguing to me to see how many people jump on him. And Danny Woodhead, you know what? I'm not supposed to make bold predictions now, guys, but I'm going to make my bold prediction here a little bit early. It's the Melvin Gordon show this week. Melvin Gordon goes over 100 yards this week and gets you not one, but two touchdowns. You heard it here.
Okay. I like that one. That's a good one. That's a fair. Good one.
Hey, he ran the ball well last week. He did. So I think he breaks him out. I think he wins somebody a tournament. Hopefully it's me. Over at the wide receiver spot, Antonio Brown. Let's talk about him real quick. I mean, is this just a plug and play here, Austin? I mean, he's the best receiver in football. I think certainly the most healthy receiver in football. And, you know, after last week, just, you know, man, he was just unstoppable.
Yeah, I think in cash games, you kind of plug him in as long as you find plenty of value elsewhere. In GPPs, you know, I think he's going to be pretty heavily owned here. And, man, I'm not going to say.
Would you go under on him in GPPs? Would you go under what the standard is going to be on him, would you say, or would you be in line with it?
Probably under. I'm probably looking elsewhere, which I may regret, but in GP, I'll have him in cash a lot more than I will in GPP.
John also has Fitzgerald, 67, 24% cash, 25% GPP. That's clearly a recency bias play in my eyes. I mean, it's not a bad play. It's just at those elevated numbers. I think that recency is jumping into it. And Moncrief at 4% cash, 18% GPP. Tip and pick, Fitzgerald, are you buying on him for cash yourself?
I actually do have him in my tentative cash game lineup on FanDuel right now. He may come out, you know, as practice goes through, I tend to be a little fluid with respect to my lineup. Sure. But, you know, as many targets as he had last week, this is a primetime matchup. He's 6,700. I think he's still underpriced for a possession receiver in that matchup in a game where they're the fifth highest team total on the week.
All right. Tight end Gronkowski, 8,400, 16% cash, 14% GPP. Rudolph is your second one at 16% cash, 12% GPP. I think there's going to be a lot of names out there this week again at tight end. Just Gronk is obviously Gronk smash. Great option. You can make him work. There's no doubt about it. I still like Olsen this week. I still like Graham this week. And, you know, Jordan Reed for Thursday night, you know, he didn't disappoint last week, even being a little bit banged up. So there's another value option for you. All right, let's get to the wide receiver cornerback combos. And we'll start with you, Tip and Pick. You were so anxious to talk to me all about Travis Benjamin and who he burned last week. So who gets to feast this week against that member of the secondary?
Yeah, anybody who reads my tips and picks columns on Football Guys for the past year knows that my favorite guy to pick on is Bleedy Ray Wilson for the Tennessee Titans. And I'm so upset at myself that I did not take a flyer on Travis Benjamin last week, knowing that he was going up against Bleedy Ray Wilson. The only reason I didn't was because Johnny Manziel was throwing the football, and I, you know, full disclosure, cannot stand Johnny Manziel. This week, however, I kind of like Andrew Luck, so I don't have a problem with going with an Andrew Luck receiver. And the receiver that should see the most Bleedy Ray Wilson action is T.Y. Hilton, who is the guy that has gone kind of quiet to this point. So T.Y. Hilton is my sneaky GPP play this week. Despite some of the health issues, he could have an absolutely huge week against this poor, poor secondary.
All right, Vontae Davis is a little bit banged up, and we saw the Jets really throw all over this secondary of the Colts. What do you think here, Tip and Pick? Or not? Excuse me, not Tip and Pick, Austin. Titans, you know, they might be from behind in this game, and we know that Bishop Sankey is not going to be, you know, grinding out yards for them. It's going to be Mariota. Is it Kendall Wright for you this week? Is it Fasano? Is it stay away? I think that's kind of intriguing with Mr. Davis being questionable this week.
Yeah, it's interesting. Fasano blew up in this game with Delanie Walker out. It sounds like Walker might actually play in this game, which totally, you know, throws Fasano off the radar. Kendall Wright, I think, is a little nicked up, actually. And so I want to make sure that he's healthy before I jump in on this. With kind of all the question marks swirling around health in their pass catchers, I can't really find a great play to take advantage of this weak secondary. You know, I could throw a dart at someone a little bit deeper, but I just wish Kendall Wright would practice more and maybe I would go with him.
All right. Well, we got to get this show rolling here, and we've got our Thursday night analysis, Washington and the Giants, pretty close line, 3.5 or 3 point favorite for the Giants at home. 45 is the over under and tip and pick. You know, sometimes we fade Thursday night. Sometimes we play Thursday night. Usually we fade Thursday night. But last week, even it looked like a pretty good fade spot. And, you know, it was okay. I mean, I think you had Denver. I know I had their defense, and they scored me like 20 points on FanDuel. But for the most part, nobody killed you. Emmanuel Sanders might have helped you a little bit. It was kind of those, you know, kind of run-of-the-mill kind of games last Thursday night. What's your takeoff on this one? The 45 total is again, it's not high, but it's actually kind of one of the higher ones of the week. There's nothing at 50 this week. So, thoughts on Giants and Washington and who you might target?
Yeah, so this game is actually interesting. It's an NFC East showdown. These guys know each other very well. Both of them have actually performed quite well against the run this year. And so I'm off both running game, whether it's Shane Vereen / Rashard Jennings or Matt Jones and Alfred Morris. I think that there's too much split there, and the solidity of the defensive line for both teams excuse me away from those guys. The Giants are actually pretty bad against the pass through the first couple weeks, allowing 351 yards per game. So I think that gives a little bit of credence towards a Kirk Cousins passing game. But let's remember, it's Kirk Cousins. So I'm staying mostly away from this game. The only thing that I'll have if I play would be a Jordan Reed, perhaps a Pierre Garçon. But really, I think that those guys will be over-owned for the type of upside that they offer. So if I'm doing anything, really, I'm probably staying away from this game more than anything.
You concur, Austin?
Yeah, I'm fading this game. You know, Odell Beckham Jr. will probably have a decent game here, but he's priced really high, and he's going to be really highly owned. So I'm going to fade this game.
I'm kind of with you. Not feeling much in this one. I think it's a situation I might look elsewhere. And I think it'll be good. I think it's a good day to throw some cash games out there because outside of ODB, who, yeah, he could absolutely just go off. But you know what? He is such a premium salary. I see people chasing Matt Jones. I see people playing Rashard Jennings. I see people playing Larry Donnell. I think there's a lot of landmine plays out there in this game that more people are going to play on Thursday than they normally would. You know, last week on Thursday night, yeah, a lot of people played Jamal Charles. You know what? He wasn't terrible when it was all said and done. A lot of people played Emmanuel Sanders. Yeah, he was okay when it was all said and done. So I just don't see – I think there's a lot of these guys out there that could just do nothing in this game and really, you know, give you an advantage if you play some cash on Thursday night. Tournaments, I don't know if there's enough of an edge to kind of go too hard in it, where it's just going to be ridiculous overexposure. Let's kind of talk a little bit about what we got going over at Football Guys and at Roto Grinders. Again, if you're not subscribed to Football Guys, do it. John, you wrote a couple, I don't want to say chapters, or maybe it were chapters, in the Cracking DraftKings ebook, which this is cool. When you sign up to their site, you get access to basically a book, Cracking FanDuel, Cracking DraftKings, where you guys kind of like break down, it's a great kind of beginner's guide to playing daily fantasy for people. But I've also found there's some pretty good elements even for, you know, experienced players.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when we put these books together, it was a complete team effort. And I would love to talk about everybody and what they did. But simply put, there were just too many people with input. When I went back and read this book as a lead editor on the book at the end, I could not believe the amount of content that we had crammed into this book. I consider myself a fairly advanced player, and there were things that I found myself taking notes upon as I was reading it. And so I think there are good things in there for a beginner, and certainly there are things for the advanced player. And it's a really quick read. You could read the entire book in a couple hours. So if you have, you're watching college football this weekend, sit down with that book and just scroll through it. I guarantee you'll find something in there that you like.
Yeah, and they've got them for both FanDuel and DraftKings. Austin, did you contribute to either of those two books?
Yeah, I wrote a couple of chapters, more so in the sort of intro, welcoming newcomers into the game sort of chapters, and did a ton of editing on both books, a lot of different chapters that I didn't write. I edited a lot of other people's work. So yeah, both me and Tip and Pick were heavily involved in these books, and we're really proud of them. And, you know, check them out. I'm excited about them.
Definitely. And the Daily Crusher app as well. You can put in your lineup and it'll analyze it for you. It'll give you, you know, a lot of the key names, the David Dodds of the world, kind of give you their take on your lineup. And it's really, really cool. So check that out. You can find that in the App Store. And again, subscription's pretty cheap over there. And obviously, if you're new to Roto Grinders, if you haven't checked us out, we only do daily fantasy. We've only done it for longer than most of the sites out there. We've got our premium incentives for each and every site. You can always sign up through any site through our links and get access to those for free for an absolute for a year. And that accounts for all sports. So again, we deal basketball season, obviously right around the corner, college football. You guys have it at Football Guys. We have it at RG. And, you know, obviously the other sports as the year goes on. So certainly if you're new to us, we're happy to have you here. And it's now time for our bold predictions of the week. Okay, Tip and Pick, give me yours, because I'm on the record for mine. Melvin Gordon, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns this week. He looks like the Melvin Gordon of Wisconsin in my eyes.
Okay, so I'm going above and beyond with Marshawn Lynch, who I kind of gave you a little bit of a hint of how high I was on him. I'm predicting 166 all-purpose yards and 3 touchdowns this week for Marshawn Lynch. That would be almost 35 points and 5X value on DraftKings.
That is bold. That is bold, and I didn't have to do a lot of math. So we're 1 for 1 here in terms of the football guys. Last week, we were, you know, 1 for 2. Week 1, we were 1 for 2. Austin, don't let me down. Don't make me do math here. What's your bold prediction this week?
No math. Isaiah Crowell, 125 yards and 2 touchdowns against Oakland.
Whoa, didn't see that one coming. That sounds like value play du jour out there. I like it. Bold call. And again, I'm all in the Melvin Gordon bandwagon. So there you go. That does it. This hour flies by. And again, we're so happy that you found us here at Roto Grinders and over there at Football Guys. We'll be back next week, same time, 9:30 on a Wednesday. Hopefully one of us has one of those gaudy $1 million checks behind us, because I'll tell you this much. I want $1 million on FanDuel or DraftKings this week. They're damn well better be sending me a big ass check to put behind them. You think they can do that? I mean, the cityscape of Jacksonville is just beautiful. I know you love that, but a big gaudy check, we need to make that happen. So we'll be taking our shots at that. Again, great content leading up to through the weekend over there on Football Guys and on Roto Grinders, because again, a lot can change here from Wednesday before the Sunday kickoff, and lots more live shows here on Roto Grinders as well. Of course, for John Lee and Austin Lee, I'm Dan Bach. We're all wishing you the best of luck this week in week 3 of the NFL. And till next time, we'll see ya.